We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, over there, the one and only Dan Rubenstein in frigid, snowy Chicagoland. Sir, how are you?
Truly, my back is very, very sore because, as always, I have to carry this snow all over the place. There's some. Did you think I was going to say show?
I thought I was a little worried.
Ago. Yeah.
Where you were headed with that?
A lot of shoveling. Maybe we'll get to snow and shovel talk. Mm. Make people stick around for the real juicy meat of this college football
Our
podcast.
Our new podcast, now, Shovel Talk. Yeah.
Shovel Talk. I'm all right. I'm a little bit sore, but I'm accomplished, and I'm ready to talk about quarterbacks and, I suppose, anything else within the college football universe you want to talk about.
I was just outside running the snowblower, just trying to get ahead of things because we're, I think, in the throes of getting 2 feet here. So I got that nice, like, gasoline smell that you get from running a large piece of machinery. So I'm rough and tumble. I'm ready to jump on in and do what we do here, which is a college football podcast.
Correct.
Year-round.
Can confirm.
SolidVerbal.com is the website. Verballers.com is the Patreon, Dan. And
love it.
Look, it's the off season. We're only doing 2 regular shows a week. But if you go on out to Verballers.com, you can find what the bonus schedule looks like. Going to be releasing some bonus content out there. I think it's been working well. We've been using Patreon as like the lab, if you will, right? We've been trying
Definitely.
Stuff out, throwing it against the wall, seeing what sticks. We've got a teaming community of Verballers who are out there. We got a great suggestion. You know, I've been playing games on Twitch, the NCAA 14 video game. One of the folks who stops by on a regular basis suggested that we should offer up player names.
Oh, I like that idea.
To our Verballers. So, you know, we've got hundreds
of Patreon Verballers.
Yeah, we've got hundreds of Patreon subscribers that I should offer up to premium Verballers.
Melchin, Kimmy Lynn, Dan Klobuchar. Yeah, all those guys.
Their chance to be emblazoned upon the Navy dynasty that I have.
Got some Nathan Lee going on, maybe as a wideout. I'm looking at the C-Mig Bear. Large nose tackle, a war daddy tie, Jake the Good Ag, Spandrew.
Yep.
You can build a pretty ridiculous squad here. Krozzle, of course. Of course. Jigga Joe Freezy. Shout out Jigga Joe.
That's what I'm saying. It's a great idea. So anyway, Verballers.com. That's Patreon.
Yeah,
that's where you can go and find stuff out and find out details on the Navy franchise that is underway. Social media, you know all the usual hotspots. Subscribe to the newsletter, solidverbal.com. What are we doing today?
So I took a bunch of questions from social media about quarterbacks, past, present, future of any team, any situation, what have you. We got a number of excellent questions. We're going to go through them. It spans all sorts of college football areas. And I don't, is there news you want to get into, Ty? Is there something that's, I mean, we have some like Will Levis who's leaving Penn State. I don't know if you have thoughts on that. I guess we can dovetail into the Penn State quarterback room with that.
I think we could transition into the first question, which had to do with Sean Clifford and Penn State and the like. What kinds of questions did you tee up?
I mean, Teddy Bruschi's returning to the University of Arizona as a senior advisor. Chipper Jones is going to help some Braves hit. There's no news you want to talk about?
It feels like kind of a slow news day, to be honest.
Okay. Eric Gilbert's going to Florida, which is pretty enormous. And obviously Dan Mullen
sold. Right?
Eric. Like you're from West Orange.
That's right.
Eric. So we have, do we have a sound for questions? You've got mail? That kind of thing?
Let's see. What do I got here? Do I have You've Got Mail? Do I have it? I have it.
It's not real.
No, that's not it.
Mailing it.
Where's my mail sound? It's been a while since I played the mail sound.
It's all social media too, so it doesn't really matter.
I'll find it. All right, keep going. I have to find this. Oh, here it is.
Congratulations, jeez. Skippy. You've got mail.
You've got mail.
On the Solid Verbal.
I've rearranged this soundboard so many damn times that I can't find the necessary sounds anymore. But yeah, so we solicited messages. It's not all email. It's a lot of social media. But you went out there earlier today and you tried to tee up a very specific line of questioning.
Yeah, that was one of the things, by the way, our Verballers on Patreon mentioned. Love to have more specific Q&As. So I went with quarterback room, basically. And we have a number of questions about a number of schools across different conferences. I guess let's start with Penn State because I mentioned it. I also enjoyed that Will Levis had kind of an off-season Ben Simmons hitting a three-pointer mixtape that was released on social media a couple weeks ago of him completing passes against Air. Nothing against Will Levis. Who does Penn State roll with? Sean Clifford, grad transfer, somebody else? That's from Josh. And then Ian also mentioned, does it look like the whole plane will be made of Clifford? Mm. Is this bad? Let's start with Penn State quarterbacking to really sex up this college football talk in February.
Yeah, I'm content with anyone but Clifford.
Okay, ABC?
Anyone but Clifford is, I think, the answer for me. You went back. I know you said you watched some of Clifford and your comment to me. I'm looking for it here. He ain't it. Is that?
Yeah, I'm trying to let's avoid being mean as best we can in some of these cases. Sean Clifford looks like he just is not a high level quarterback. I hope he has a bounce back year. And, you know, the 2020 season, it's a very different experience for all of these guys playing. And between the opt-outs, between the different living situations and not seeing family, like, you can understand how somebody could have a dip of a year and bounce back in a more normal season should we have that in our future. So I'm willing, you know, somebody like Graham Mertz. Jensen had a question about Graham Mertz. Will it be like early season or late season Mertz? He got sick in the middle of the year. He missed time. And so there's an element to, like, we don't fully know, hopefully, who Graham Mertz is quite yet. And I don't know. Sean Clifford led a team to a bunch of wins 2 years ago. They got to a New Year's Six game, right? So we know that there is a version of Sean Clifford that can be pretty good if everything is operating around him. That was a more talented team on offense, a more proven team on offense. I don't feel good about where Penn State is right now. I suppose you roll with Clifford. There's a new offensive coordinator, so depending on how confident you are in Mike Yurcich's ability. But again, it's starting over once again. It's starting over once again on offense. And, you know, they had the depth issues at running back and receiver. They had issues and, you know, Jahan Dotson, and they had a freshman step up. Now his name escapes me. Parker Washington.
Yeah,
Did I make that name up? Okay. And I don't have their line depth in front of me right now, but it just seems there is a definitive right now with what he looks like 7 to 8 win ceiling with Sean Clifford.
So look, here's the thing. We talked about Clifford when he played 12 games in 2019, came in with a fair amount of acclaim, and I felt went the route of just never getting better. Had a fine year, completed almost 60% of his passes in 2019. Did not feel to me like he got better.
pretty good. Pretty good.
He was fine.
Yeah.
This year, if we look at what he did in 9 games, again, completed about 60% of his passes, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. The thing in particular that I was looking at going into this year was, are we going to see any kind of improvement? There's a new offensive coordinator, like you said, circumstances.
What's his name? What's his name? And do we have a sound?
Kirk Sciarocca. I think we retired the sound now.
Oh, no.
We did.
Sciarocca. Kirk Sciarocca.
That sound may have been a curse.
Possibly.
But, you know, I understand there are circumstances, but I also understand that Clifford, again, did not look like he got much better. So I worry about that. I think that the offense as a whole will be pretty fine. Jahan Dotson coming back's a big deal. Hopefully Noah Cain's healthy. He'll be your number one running back again. The line, they're moving some guys around, but it should be okay. I feel okay about the offense, but I don't feel great about the quarterback position. So personally, I'm willing to roll the dice with Taquan Robertson. Personally, I'm willing to roll the dice with Taquan Roberson or Christian Veau.
Roberson's a smaller guy, though, right? He's like 5'10".
Smaller
guy. I believe
guy.
He is. Yeah, 5'10", 5'11". Okay. I mean, that's its own list of challenges, but, you know, we've seen guys thrive at that height.
Or Christian Veau, my new favorite name, the true freshman who committed early and is already on campus.
So I guess we can go through a lot of these quarterback situations, be it a quarterback battle that's going to play out over spring and fall camp and perhaps into the season at a lot of these places, and talk about guys that we've already seen play. Is there room to grow, or have they hit that ceiling?
Yeah, Clifford's
hit the
ceiling.
What I hear from you,
he's hit the ceiling.
Is Sean Clifford. We've seen the best of Sean Clifford, whereas somebody he was actually at least statistically identical to in 2019, Kyle Trask, did not hit his ceiling
in
2019.
No.
And so he made that move and Sean Clifford didn't. I hope Sean Clifford has a bounce back year, because you mentioned guys that would be very fun to have a really good quarterback throwing to them. I don't know. I think if you are counting on Penn State bouncing back to New Year's six-ish and Sean Clifford is starting all year, I have my concerns.
All right. What's the next one up here? Do I see a JT Shrout question?
You do see a JT Shrout.
Wow.
I actually kind of like JT Shrout.
That's a deep cut going JT Shrout. He comes over from Tennessee.
These questions are in no particular order, by the way. You can ask whatever you want.
This question from Nate. Now, let's talk about it. Tennessee is noteworthy. They're in the news. JT Shrout transferring from Tennessee over to Colorado. He's a redshirt sophomore. He played in 8 total games during his time at Tennessee.
He came in relief against Florida and actually looked pretty good in the second half. He relieved Harrison Bailey.
Got a really strong arm.
Yeah.
He's from the West Coast. He's from California, so it's a little bit closer to home going over to Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I like it. I don't know. Do you have any strong opinions on this?
The quarterback last year, I believe, was a converted safety. That quarterback room is just thin. And so they ran the ball really well last year with Jarek Broussard. I think there are steps to be taken for sure in Colorado. I think he's fine. I think he's totally fine. I think they need bodies. They need an arm. They need something lively. And I'm excited to see what he can do if he is fully empowered as the starting quarterback.
Jensen wants to know, who is the real Graham Mertz? Will the real Graham Mertz please stand up? Will he be like early season or late season Mertz in 2021? That, my friend, is a hell of a question.
So the good news for Graham Mertz is, if we're going to kind of throw away his post-COVID stretch, which was pretty bad, if we're going to throw that away and he's going to have a full year and presumably spring and summer workouts and fall camp, just getting used to the offense and getting used to being the guy, because if you remember, King Cone got hurt, and that's what thrust Graham Mertz into the starting position.
Correct.
So the concern I have about Graham Mertz realizing his potential is, well, one, he should be behind a very good line. And I mean, these are the positives, that Jalen Berger looks like he's going to be the guy at running back. Julius Davis also promising, but Jalen Berger was the clear best running back in that room, not Jonathan Taylor tailback, but that's encouraging for a team that does rely on play action to complete a ton. I just don't see an obvious dude pass catcher for Wisconsin. They haven't gone out and found studs at receiver every year. You look at their room right now, there's guys, but they didn't seem to be in huge demand. The passing game was pretty woeful last year in terms of separation from where it was with Quintez Cephas the year before, and they've had guys, but I don't know that Graham Mertz can even, I don't know if we can see his ceiling. I think there's fog in Madison because I don't know where, Winter Wonders, whatever, I don't know where like an all Big Ten receiver is anywhere near this roster.
It's just so hard to gauge. I don't know if we can really get a good feel for this one. Again, you'll recall October 23rd, I want to say, Wisconsin against Illinois. First game of the year. Yeah. 20 of 21, 5 touchdowns. 248 against Illinois. It was against Illinois, but that's a hell of an opening stanza. Next week against Michigan on the road. 12 of 22, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
He didn't do much, though. He didn't really go down.
127 yards.
That was Michigan's offense screwing up a ton and Wisconsin's defense taking advantage. Yeah.
127 yards. He threw a touchdown the next week, but 3 interceptions against Northwestern.
Yeah.
And then he went 3 straight games without throwing a touchdown pass. Closed out the year that way. Threw one in the bowl game. But it was a very like uneven, almost depreciating stat line for him as he went from week to week. So I still think that he's a really good quarterback. He seems like he has the look. He seems as if he's got the skill set. And I hate to use a cliche term. He does seem as if he can make all the throws. But there is a question out wide that I think you rightfully bring up. The running game wasn't up to snuff this year either.
No.
You know, maybe they found their guy, but the Wisconsin offense, as we've come to know and love it, really does depend on having that strong running game that it can lean upon and then play off that in the passing game. So I think it's incomplete at this point. We got to wait and see what we get from Graham Mertz. Hopefully he gets a full cycle where he can work on his game and improve.
41 pass attempts, 7 points against Northwestern.
Yeah.
Obviously here in a very raucous Evanston area, but yeah, if he threw the ball more than 22 times, small sample size, in a game this year, Wisconsin lost. And that's just more of a statement about where Wisconsin's offense is or isn't right now. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that his ceiling is higher. I think there's more reason to believe in Graham Mertz right now. The problem is, again, what his surrounding offense looks like. Because there have been Wisconsin quarterbacks these past few years who have had it good in terms of always having a tight end or two, always having a clear number one option at receiver, or two very good options. Right now, it looks like there's a bit of a drought there.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Eric wants to know about USC. This is a good question.
Yeah.
USC's last two long-term starting quarterbacks are either a first-round pick in Sam Darnold or projected to be, Keaton Slovis.
Mm-hmm.
However, both required injured players ahead of them to see the field. Slovis needed two injuries. Why do coaches fail to see the best quarterback in practice so often? This is a loaded question.
Yeah, there's a lot here, but yeah. Do you have any thoughts about this?
It's not always apparent. Sometimes it takes a circumstance to figure out who your best quarterback is. You don't always know. I was talking earlier, I did the Shamrock with our friends Pete Sampson and Matt Fortuna
mm-hmm.
in The Athletic, their podcast. Go and check it out. I'll tweet it out. I think you did already. We talked a little bit about Ian Book. When Ian Book came in for Brandon Wimbush, it was sort of like, really? We're going to go to Ian Book and not Brandon Wimbush? Wimbush came in with much acclaim.
Yeah, much bigger arm. Mm-hmm.
On paper, even in practice, I think looked the part, very much looked the part. Something about the game, though, for Brandon Wimbush did not compute. And Ian Book came in against, I think, Wake Forest and instantly took command of the offense. From a skill standpoint, Brandon Wimbush was way more athletic,
right.
Had much more in the way
bigger
of physical
arm.
Tools
yeah,
to
yeah.
work
Physi-
with.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, Ian Book took command. Say what you want about him. Look, there's nobody been more skeptical of Book than me, but the numbers are there. He won a lot of games at Notre Dame. No one will say anything that will ever take that away.
Sure.
So I it's just a very complex problem. First and foremost, how does a guy react there when he's out in the heat of battle? Does he perform the same way he does in practice?
Right. It's a mental thing for sure.
There's a mental component. Also, especially at a school like USC, again, say what you want about USC, but recruiting quarterbacks to come in there and be in the quarterback room is never really a hard thing to do. They always have a lot of talent to pick from. And so I think it's a combination of the mental side. It's certainly a combination of the scheme. It's a combination of staying healthy, which Eric brings up here in the question. But, you know, take JT Daniels, for example. JT Daniels, I thought, looked really good in his very short time at USC. He gets hurt. Keaton Slovis jumps in. Now JT Daniels, still very good, just across the country for Georgia. So it's not all on the coach.
So in this specific situation, I have heard firsthand from the coaching staff, from people on that field, that USC did not want to start Sam Darnold in that first game as a redshirt freshman because it would have been against Alabama. And throwing somebody into that kind of arena, a Javier arena, if you will. I'm so sorry.
That's good.
I regret it already.
I like that.
Throwing somebody in their very first game as a young player can do a lot of damage if it goes poorly in terms of confidence, in terms of emotion, whatever. Max Brown had been in that program for a long time, was an upperclassman, had a command of the offense, and was beaten out as, I believe, a true freshman by Cody Kessler, if I'm not mixing up my USC quarterback timelines. And so it was sort of seen as, we think he's pretty good. He might not have the physical ceiling of Sam Darnold. He might not have the arm of Sam Darnold, who was, I think, wowing people in practice the year before, but certainly raw. Like, let's see what we have in Max Brown when the bullets are firing. And it wasn't great. It just wasn't great. And so I imagine that it was USC coaches' informed imagination, knowing that Sam Darnold had a higher ceiling, knowing Sam Darnold was just much more of a playmaker, improviser, you know, wouldn't shrink away from the moment. But they didn't want to do him that harm, knowing that it wasn't going to be all that pretty against Alabama, probably. So that's why that happened. I don't think the USC coaches were blind to the fact that Sam Darnold was a better quarterback than Max Brown. They're pretty good at what they do. Maybe not the best in college football. They're pretty good. I think with Keaton Slovis, JT Daniels was, you know, the arm talent. He was just an injury thing. And they were, I think it was clear to anybody who was in that practice that JT Daniels was far closer to being a starting quarterback as a true freshman than Keaton Slovis showed himself to be, even though he was impressive early on and eventually took over. And USC had a crowded room. So I think it's tough. I think it is that emotional element of what does this guy look like in a game? What does this guy look like at full speed when guys are bearing down? And both Keaton Slovis and Sam Darnold obviously passed the test. But Yeah, there's definitely a difference in a comfort level and a confidence that guys either have or don't when things get real.
This question to me, I'm going to change it.
Oh, okay.
Matt says, is there an actor who has played more quarterbacks than Keanu Reeves?
Oh, this is because I posted a Shane Falco gif in the tweet. Yeah.
Only two, but I can't think of another actor who has played more than one. Adam Sandler comes close, but only one was a quarterback.
Right.
You've got a question.
He played Bobby Boucher and he was the longest yard as well.
Yeah, you've got a note here.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite, originally a quarterback, but moved to X? Could be a Belldozer type. Could be a Joel Lanning, Chaz Surratt type. Could be a Braxton Miller type. Could be a college quarterback to NFL other position type like Terrell Pryor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I love that question. My question was just going to be, and I don't think there aren't any that I know of who have played quarterback more than once. I know Keanu's done it. Do you have a favorite TV quarterback? Favorite movie quarterback?
Favorite TV or movie quarterback?
You know, so like are we talking, we could go Shane Falco since that's topical.
I mean, Voodoo Tatum. I don't know the actor's name from Friday Night Lights. He was real fun. I like a grizzled older quarterback. What was it? Is it Willie Beeman?
Steven Willie Beeman. Yeah.
Right. That's a good option. I haven't, this is me on the spot because you haven't given me.
I'm partial.
You're going to ask me this.
I'm partial to Johnny Mox from Varsity Blues.
And have you seen his jeans? Have you looked back and seen pictures of his jeans in that movie?
His jeans?
Okay. So look up Mox jeans in, what's the name of the movie?
I'm Varsity totally blanking Blues.
On. Varsity Blues. Look up Mox jeans, Varsity Blues.
Okay. I'm looking.
He's a very serious character.
Right.
It should be the first image that comes up on Google Image. He's a very serious character. He's got his arm against the wall. He's talking to a lady friend, perhaps. He's got these gigantic jeans.
These are like hammer pants. They're huge.
He's wearing JNCOs in a serious scene because, you know, the movie came out when jeans were baggier. And it's just a hilarious rewatch.
Those are enormous, Dan.
From a denim perspective.
Right. Good Lord.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a good movie. I don't have a favorite, but do you have a favorite positional switch or positional switch situation?
I am partial to the quarterback to linebacker maneuver.
I love that.
I think that's my favorite because, you know, if you get the right announcer, they're going to play off that and say, oh, Chaz Surratt's now the quarterback of the defense.
Of course.
Which could very easily be a fantasy things selection. Could have been this year with respect to Chaz Surratt. So I think that's probably my favorite.
I personally enjoy the move to receiver just because there's always that potential for a double pass. Mm. And you get to learn, do they still have it? There's always that, you know, the Antoine Randall L, Julian Edelman, Terrell Pryor actually tried to play quarterback in the NFL. And that's a nice what if too. What would Terrell Pryor have done to Big Ten defensive backs? At 6'6", and an impossible red zone target. And he was a fantastic quarterback, obviously, for Ohio State. But what type of nightmare would he have been for Ohio State? Oh, man, that would have been amazing. So, yeah, I think it is the receivers just because of the trick play potential. And you get Cordell Stewart, and he's slash. And you if you get a guy who's just too talented, you get that gravitational player, too. I love that. So that's my answer. But I understand where you're coming from because there is an element of – swallowing your pride.
Yeah.
If you are your Chaz Surratt, Joel Lanning type, where we don't even want you on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
We think you're too aggressive. Go out and hit somebody and read offenses instead of running one.
Those
guys thrive. I love it.
There's definitely some bit of cerebral overlap there going from quarterback to quarterback of the defense, if you will.
Sure.
But you know, they're just so different from a skill standpoint. Quarterbacks don't have to tackle unless they throw a really bad interception.
Right.
How do you discover this in practice that Chaz Surratt could play quarterback, but may actually be a first round NFL selection as a linebacker? It just seems really hard to discover that, even as a receiver.
Well, I imagine he probably played it in high school or something.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But how do you test that? How do you test that if quarterback depth is a thing? Right? I don't know. It just seems like there are two incompatible skill sets that would be very tough to discern. Meanwhile, if you're a receiver, you know, you run the trick plays. Obviously, if you're a guy like a Terrell Pryor, let's say it didn't exactly happen for him, that conversion in college, but like he could go out and he could run routes and he can catch balls in practice.
I think we should drug Bud Elliott and Brandon Huffman and all sorts of recruiting people and hear the all-time chose to play the wrong position in college team and ended up screwing them, or maybe not screwing them, as they went on to the NFL. Because I remember to this day, Brandon Huffman will tell me DeAnthony Thomas should have been a corner.
Yeah.
And he cost himself a ton of money playing, you know, slot back or whatever he did for Oregon. We got a couple of questions about Northwestern and Ryan Helinski.
Okay.
What is your take on Northwestern's quarterback situation with Ramsey out, Peyton Ramsey out, and new transfer Ryan Helinski from South Carolina, originally from the West Coast, coming in? Is Helinski the walk-in starter even after leaving South Carolina?
Man. I was all in on the Hunter Johnson move to Northwestern.
Yeah.
And that did not work at all.
Well, here's the thing to me. I don't think you go to Northwestern to revive your career as a future NFL quarterback or All-American caliber quarterback. I think you transfer to Northwestern because it seems stable. You're going to win games. You get a good education. You're in a big city, if that's something you're into, or near a big city. And there's an element to Northwestern football that's just consistent. And if you're in a place that is pretty volatile, like I think we can assume South Carolina has been these past couple of years, maybe that's what you're looking for. You're going to have a good defense, most likely on the other side of the ball. It's just hard to see. I mean, Northwestern's another situation like Wisconsin, possibly even lower. They lose their top four pass catchers, I believe, are seniors. I don't know if there any of them are coming back, but this was not an amazing offense. It was an improved offense this year with Peyton Ramsey. I think they went from like 129th to 75th in points per drive, but I don't think it matters. I think he's fine. I think he's okay. He wasn't the answer in the SEC and, you know, had moments, made plays, but all in all, he was not somebody who looked like he improved over the course of his year thrust into a starting role when Jake Bentley got hurt. So I'm hoping for the best. I expect at best an average Northwestern offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we're at with this. With this,
we got it. By the way, we still are getting, is so-and-so the next Joe Burrow?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Colvin wants to know, does Joe Burrow give enough credibility to LSU to shed its bad quarterback developer baggage? We got a Jack Cohn next Joe Burrow.
Oh, no.
Which
No.
Walk me through.
All right. Well, let me go back here to this Ryan Helinski thing, though, for a second.
Go to Ryan Helinski.
I don't think it matters either. I don't think it matters either. I feel
like... Well, it matters if he's awful.
It matters if he's awful. And Peyton Ramsey was fine. He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. Made plays.
But I'm so over the quarterback situation at Northwestern. I feel like it always lets me down. Unless you've got somebody who can scramble around and make plays, it's just not an offense that's going to be that high flying. And I don't know how much it matters to have a quarterback. You don't want someone who's going to shoot you in the foot. But outside of that, as long as you have that guy, I'm just like, I think I'm personally over it. I'm very disappointed because I thought the Hunter Johnson thing was going to be better than it ended up being. And like in his case, he wasn't going to play at Clemson. He went to Northwestern. They had an opening. He was closer to home and it bombed horribly. I don't know how much of that is his fault versus how much of that is the coaches or the system, what have you. But I'm kind of over it. So I hope it works for Ryan Helinski, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
What I'm hearing from you, subtext, between the lines,
I'm over
is...
it.
Dan Persas just don't grow on trees.
That's exactly right.
They grow at Liberty High School in Bethlehem, PA.
That's exactly right.
That's what I'm hearing.
So okay. I'm playing Persas.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
They just dominate?
It was incredible, yeah.
I have breaking news, Ty.
Okay.
You want to play the sound or just want to...
Still not going to yell, but my voice is back to 100% now.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, yeah. Boop, 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 boop. We have a question from I Street, whatever. Who is Washington's next Jake? And the breaking news is, in neither the class of 2020, 2021, nor 2022, is there a Jake or Jacob in the top 100 quarterbacks?
Whoa.
The Jake Lake has been drained. man, after Jake Locker, Jacob Eason, Jake Browning, other Jakes who didn't play, it looks like, I mean, Sam Huard is the quarterback of the future. Son of Damon, by the way, if you want to feel old.
Right.
The new prized quarterback at Washington. There's not going to be a new Jake or Jacob for some time.
Is there a Jake somewhere else on the roster who could do the awkward position change to quarterback?
Oh, good question. I'll load it up right now.
I want the I don't full believe roster. So full roster. We need to scope
Jake
this out.
Jake Haner transferred to Fresno State, where he was okay. I'm on the Our Lads page. There's no Jacob after Jacob Eason left. Is there another Jake? At least in the two deep, there is not.
Whoa.
Dylan Morris.
Whoa.
Is the starter right now. So if you had to, for this next... I think Washington's in a... I think Dylan Morris is okay. We'll see on Sam Huard. He's built pretty similar to Jake Browning. But if you were to look at previous Jakes that played for Washington, so that's Eason, Haner, Browning, Locker. Really have been a lot. I think Jacob Sermon just left. He was one of the possible quarterbacks of the future.
Crazy.
If you were to split the difference between Locker, Browning, Eason, Haner, whatever, what does the next Jake bring to the table? So Jacob Eason...
This is such a weird question.
Thank you. Jacob Eason, tall with a big arm, not super accurate, not a big winner. Jake Browning, accurate, won a good deal, but physically, you know, he got hurt a lot and shrunk away, didn't really keep progressing after a really impressive early part of his career. Jake Locker, really physically impressive, really athletic.
Are we playing a game of make a Jake? Is that what we're doing here?
We're playing make a Jake.
Okay.
So what is the next very specific quarterback identity of the next Jake? So
I think he'd have to be a crazy scrambler, wouldn't he?
Well, we had kind of that with Jake Locker. He was the most physically gifted in terms of arm strength and athleticism.
But he was
the big arm, but not the mobility.
Right. I just think you have to go a hard swing in the mobility direction. Like even more mobile.
So like a Khalil Tate type?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like a pure runner back there.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So that's your next Jake prototype.
My next make a Jake, yeah.
Okay, next question. Does Georgia, and I have a sub question for this. Does Georgia have the best quarterback room in the country? This is from Colonel Ag. I don't know why he's asking about Georgia, but if he's a Texas A&M fan, but I digress. To you, what is a quarterback room specifically because of the volume of potentially amazing players, or is it situation? Because to me, a great quarterback room is like a Chris Leak, Tim Tebow, where you've got your grizzled veteran who you know is leaving and you've got your next guy up who's getting time and offers something different. To me, that's a great, you know, a complimentary room. What makes a great quarterback room? And does Georgia, to you, have the best quarterback room in the nation with JT Daniels, incoming Brock Vandegrift?
Yeah.
Who I believe has red hair, which I always like to see. A throwback to the Ginger Ninja, Joe Cox. And I think it's Carson Beck, another
Carson
blue
Beck.
Chip quarterback. And then the following season, following class is another 5-star quarterback in Gunnar Stockton. Great name.
Oh, what a name. What a name. Is Stetson
Bennett
still
there? Is that the most impressive room to you? Steady Bennett's still there as well.
So that's interesting to me because, you know, so we remember where this all started. Stetson Bennett was quarterback. Stetson Bennett acquitted himself well early, diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they turn it over to JT Daniels. He kind of unlocks a different dimension of that Georgia offense. And now we're all in agreement that he's clearly the better of the two, probably the best of that quarterback room.
Sure.
But he
and they thought they were going to have Jamie Newman. Yeah.
And they thought they were going to have Jamie Newman. Right. Yeah. But Stetson Bennett has experience now. And so to your point of the Tebow leak thing, you have a guy that you can fall back on if you need to, if something...
Elite backup. Yep.
Yeah, if something happens to JT Daniels, who was coming off an injury, Stetson Bennett could be the guy that you fall back on if you have to. So you've got the depth. You also, I think, have some other options. You mentioned Brock Vandegrift.
Mm-hmm. Good name.
Good name. Really good prospect. Really good prospect. Big kid. Saw that he compares out, at least according to 24/7, to like a Jared Stidham type. He's a big kid, dual threat. Carson Beck, I don't think quite has that high of a ceiling, but still a really notable prospect to come in there and help boost the quarterback room. So I just think, I'm rambling here, but where I'm going with this is you've got a guy on the top line in JT Daniels who you know he can produce. You've got someone in Stetson Bennett who, worst case scenario, you know, can come in and at least be a game manager at worst. And then you've got quarterback of the future in a Vandegrift, in a Beck, in a Gunner coming in. So you've got so many options there. You'd be hard pressed to find many that are better than this one.
Are we just going to skim over the fact that there could potentially be a room with the following first names? JT, Brock, Stetson, Carson, and Gunner.
From a name standpoint, it's not bad. It's very strong.
No, that's incredible. That is a very modern Southern living boy band. JT, Brock, Stetson, Carson, and Gunner.
Yeah.
That's like all five of those names are on a chalkboard of somebody who is far too public about their baby name choosing process.
Yeah, like a Pinterest board, right?
Correct. That's a Pinterest board of a quarterback room. I think right now I'd probably take, in terms of proven commodities, not proven commodities, but like the complementary nature. Like Oklahoma's room is really nice between the number one quarterback in the country this last recruiting class and Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler. I think that's a really nice one too, in terms of, you know, these guys are going to be transferring at Georgia. I like where Clemson's room was this year, where we all know Trevor Lawrence is gone after this year and DJ Uiagalelei is going to get time in games and you're not worried about him as a spot starter because he had shown enough and he's physically ready for everything. Whereas there's a lot more unease about, like, we know Stetson Bennett is not going to beat a really good SEC team at Georgia with all of the weapons and all of the advantages Georgia has. He struggled against Alabama. It became a little bit too much. We know the ceilings are pretty high for guys like Gunner Stockton, Carson Beck, and Brock Vandegrift, but there's still a pretty great unknown. And this is where, like, is the backup better than the starter comes in. I remember that Chase Daniel cover on ESPN The Magazine, I want to say. Don't even remember who his backup was that year. And there were lines in that story. And Chase Daniel's sensational. Like, well, backup's actually even more athletic. It might even have a bigger arm. Like, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. So it's impressive what they're doing. I think right now, Ohio State, with their lineup of quarterbacks, nobody's proven anything. It's Jack Miller and CJ Stroud, and people asked us about that. I think CJ Stroud might be a little bit closer to being the guy. Just he looks, in the limited amount of time I've seen his tape, that he might have a higher ceiling than Jack Miller. But what they're doing in Columbus is just ridiculous. So yeah, there are places. USC as a quarterback of the future, and Keaton Slovis looks like he's going to be the guy. I don't know. There's not a lot of places. North Carolina's recruited well, and it looks like Sam Howell's going to be, you know, in Chapel Hill for only a season or so. So I think there are options. Georgia, the problem with Georgia is it's Kirby Smart that's managing them, and his track record is not amazing.
All right. Where are we going next here? Where are we going next?
Next question. Let's talk about LSU a little bit. And you know, Colvin asks, does Joe Burrow give enough cred for LSU to shed its bad quarterback developer baggage? Yes, sort of, to me. And we are at a point where people are going to say, well, this guy transferred in and nobody thought he was going to be amazing. And then he was one of the greatest all-time quarterbacks. Joe Burrow had lightning in a bottle at LSU. And so I don't know if it reflects all that well on LSU because it was a year. And I think for a school to shed quarterback baggage, you need consistency. You need year over year growth. And like, look, we developed this guy into that. You know, he got here as a freshman. He left as a junior and he was a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. And then the next guy came. Like what Clemson has done has developed quarterbacks. With LSU right now, Ed Orgeron, with a dud of both hires last year, I think it's going to take some time still. Max Williams seems promising, but... Max Johnson. I think he seems promising, but we also have to remember this about Joe Burrow, if we're going to compare any quarterback to Joe Burrow, which I will listen and figure it out, but Joe Burrow entered into a situation with Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a strong offensive line, Justin Jefferson, who I think was the best rookie receiver in the NFL this year and didn't even lead that LSU team in receiving, Terrace Marshall. Like, it was a crazy good situation that a lot of transfer quarterbacks are just not going to enter into. So, no, I don't think LSU has reached that point, and I think there needs to be sustained development and results before we start comparing any quarterback to one of the all-time greats.
It was Joe Burrow. That was maybe the best season a quarterback's ever had in history.
Just ridiculous.
Maybe the best ever. And look, we can talk about Joe Brady and the impact that he had on Joe Burrow. We could talk about how Ed Orgeron went out, swallowed his pride, and made some moves on offense that switched that offense into high gear.
Mm-hmm.
All of that certainly has a lot of validity. Joe Burrow, though, had the best season in the history of college football.
I mean, Cam Newton had, you know, a pretty ridiculous team. Johnny Manziel. Like, there have been recent guys who have been amazing. But in terms of just staggering numbers and destroying all comers in that way,
it was, in my view, unparalleled. And also out of the blue, you know, I think of Joe Burrow's first year at LSU. There were moments, but it was not nearly as special.
He's a playmaker.
Yeah, we had many a conversation on this show about, yeah, he makes plays, he has moments, but to see coming what we saw out of Burrow in that Heisman campaign, forget it. No one could have seen that coming. So, yeah, we're not comparing anyone else to Joe Burrow. I understand that there is a desire to do that. Everyone wants the next Joe Burrow, the next Baker Mayfield. But look, as I look at this quarterback depth chart for LSU, they got some interesting decisions. You know, Miles Brennan is, I think, the go-to guy, the number one. But Max Johnson came in, got some results. He was calm back there. He was mobile. You've got a guy like a TJ Finley. He's a really big dude. Different kind of player.
He's the answer. Yeah.
Is it Garrett Nussmeier who's on that roster? So, like, they've got names that are worth following. I still think it's Brennan, but now that Orgeron is on the other side of this national championship and Joe Brady's gone and Joe Burrow's not walking back through that door, I think the pressure is on again to figure out, how do you get the most at that quarterback position? Because before Joe Burrow, there wasn't a whole lot of that.
Well, there are many people who will know this better than I. I don't think Louisiana develops a lot of high-level quarterbacks. And I've heard recruiting people talk about that the talent level is so high on defense that it's impossible to get good at quarterback growing up in Louisiana. There's so much speed and talent on the field in places like Louisiana and Florida. Now, good quarterbacks have come out of Florida. And LSU just relies so much on recruiting in state because there is so much talent in state. But you see them going to Florida, going to California, going wherever, obviously to Ohio with Joe Burrow, to get a quarterback. I wonder if Ed Orgeron isn't better served just keeping an extra scholarship open at the end of the year, at the end of maybe every recruiting class, whatever. I mean, everybody's going to lose players to transfer. But saving that for that annual JT Daniels, Joe Burrow, that one intriguing transfer or grad transfer who has proven to be an above average, a pretty good quarterback. And I don't know if it's a sustainable way to run a program, but obviously it has been very difficult for LSU to hit on
quarterbacks consistently, in-state, out-of-state, for whatever reason. And so they're one of those schools that if you can guarantee a very high floor, more often than not, you're going to be able to surround that quarterback with a lot of advantages. And so that's one of those teams that should be perennially just an eye askance at the transfer portal.
LJ says that Braxton Burmeister is the leading guy for Virginia Tech going into next year with Hendon Hooker leaving. Is that good or bad, Dan? You have an opinion on Braxton Burmeister, your boy?
It depends on what you want Virginia Tech to be. I don't think he is a 10-win answer. And if that's the expectation of Virginia Tech eventually to get to with Justin Fuente, I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's a consistent downfield passer. I think he is a Stetson Bennett type, a more athletic Stetson Bennett, that he could be a really strong backup. But it's hard for me to see Braxton Burmeister putting the majority of the ACC in the loss column after playing the Hokies, which is the expectation outside of Clemson and, you know, North Carolina right now.
You remember when Justin Fuente was at Memphis?
I do. Fun watch.
His offenses were awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Awesome. You think he's running that offense at Tech with Braxton Burmeister?
Something trying to be. Who was the giant quarterback that he got drafted in the first round who was definitely not an NFL quarterback? Paxton Lynch.
Really good, though, in college.
Very good.
Not so much for the Denver Broncos.
Is he still in the NFL?
Maybe.
He is. He did not play this year. He was a practice squad Seahawk in 2019 and caught, I don't know if he's thrown an NFL pass in a long time. So he hasn't thrown an NFL pass since 2017.
Do we think Braxton Burmeister is running that Memphis offense at Virginia Tech? Not to say that Fuente's even trying to run that, but is he getting anywhere close to it? I think the answer is no. It's a rhetorical question.
Right.
So no, it's not good. That's not good at all.
They had what's his name though, right? The Gerard Evans. He ran that pretty well. Mm. JC quarterback. That shouldn't have declared, but yeah, he ran
last question.
Well.
One more question. You get to pick.
One more. We had a few questions about the Oregon quarterback situation. And
okay, go
JT
ahead.
Says, did Tyler Shuck show enough for Oregon fans to have confidence for 2021? Is Anthony Brown a better option? Oregon, like a number of schools, is now falling into a situation that is awful. The situation is looking at a committed recruit, a signed recruit, an incoming blue chip celebrated recruit, and saying, that's the future. That's the guy. He's going to save things. And if you are not living in the present, your situation downfield passing the ball, it's going to be very difficult to say, yes, I know things are bad, but wait till this guy gets here. I don't see Oregon in a good situation because that guy is Ty Thompson for Oregon. He's an incoming, I think he's a borderline five-star, whatever that means. But Tyler Shuck was not the answer. You look at the Oregon State game, the USC game, even though they won that game, he struggled. He struggled under pressure like, wait, are teams allowed to blitz? Like that level of struggle. And Anthony Brown is fine. He's on two bad knees. And I don't think Anthony Brown, a full season of Anthony Brown, will win Oregon the Pac-12. And so are you gambling on a true freshman? This is the same situation for the team of my other half, Michigan Wolverines. And it's, I think, J.J. McCarthy. Oh, but just wait. J.J. McCarthy. I don't know that Michigan's going to win many games with Jim Harbaugh moving forward. I think the situation's pretty dire in Ann Arbor. And so if you are putting that, if you're putting those eggs, that many eggs, in an unproven freshman basket, your program's in a bad place in that situation, in that specific scenario. So I am not bullish. We'll see what happens. I'm not bullish on Tyler Shuck or Anthony Brown. And I understand starting a freshman, if he is your best option, but the best option is probably starting Anthony Brown for a few games and hope Ty Thompson or Jay Butterfield, one of the young, unproven quarterbacks, is ready. Because I don't see another way around it unless they go into the transfer portal in after spring for somebody else.
Let me close it out with a question of my own. Who's the best quarterback in 2020?
College football?
Who's the best quarterback next year?
The best quarterback in 2021.
I'm looking at a list of way too early Heisman frontrunners.
So Sam Howell is the first name that jumps out.
Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler is up there. Spencer Rattler's up there. On this list, they've got Bryce Young and DJ Uiagalelei, both of whom I think bring a lot of promise, but to put them this high on this list is aggressive. CJ Stroud's, I think, going to be a name for Ohio State. Again, he's on this list. Haven't seen him yet, so...
Hasn't thrown a meaningful pass, yeah.
Right. Some other names on here, JT Daniels, Keaton Slovis, two names that we discussed.
I'm not a huge Slovis guy. I think he's good, but I don't know. I'm not bowled over.
What I'm seeing here is a couple good quarterback names that I'm excited about. But outside of Sam Howell, no one that I feel I can really rely on at this point. DJ Uiagalelei. Look, what he did against Notre Dame was ridiculous.
And they get Tony Elliott back.
Who
flirted with Tennessee, yeah.
I mean, he's going to be outstanding. We already know that.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that who's ever quarterback at Ohio State's going to be very good. Like, we know some of this is baked into the cake. But
sure,
in terms of who's the best quarterback outside of Sam Howell, let's say, it's an open question. I mean, I guess it could be Spencer Rattler, too. But, like, there's just so much out there in the quarterback space that we just don't know and can't really take for granted going into 2021.
Yeah, I think it's Rattler. I think if you're going to say outside of Sam Howell, who do I have the most confidence in? I suppose we can see how Derek King heals up from his torn ACL, but he'll be a different kind of quarterback if he's ready early on in the season physically. But certainly he is somebody who I'm excited to see. I'm disappointed at Malik Cunningham step back.
No.
It is Malik right now, or did he go? I can't remember. Is it Malik or Mikhail right now?
I think it's Malik. I think he went back to
Malik. It is Malik. Okay. Yeah. Went back to Malik. You know, there's a number of guys who I think could ascend to an interesting place. But, yeah, I think right now it's Rattler and Sam Howell. And then we'll see. You know, JT Daniels made plays near the end of the year for Georgia and should be in a position to win games. And somebody asked about Florida quarterbacks. You know, Mackenzie Milton's coming back. But he took a step back after Scott Frost left, and hopefully physically he's good to go. Emory Jones, I'm not crazy high on at the moment. And I don't know if there's anybody else in the Big Ten, ACC, anybody else in the Big 12. Texas is going to have a new starter. Spencer Sanders, Max Duggan. Like, there's a lot of, to me, B-minus passing attacks out there. And
yeah, exactly.
It's hard to see a number of these guys rising to anything beyond what we perceive their limit to be right now. Can I ask you something completely to do with what we started out the show talking about?
Please.
Talk to me about snow and what the F I'm supposed to do with all of this.
You're really having a hard time with this, aren't you? You're not. No one really enjoys shoveling, but
right.
You're having a hard time with this. Like, talk to me about your shoveling situation.
Well, there's just
gloves,
been a lot of snow
like
recently. Yeah, I have
hat.
Gloves. I have a shovel. I have a hat. I have AirPods. I'll listen to a podcast. I have good boots. Keep my feet dry. Grip well.
What kind
I want to know is,
got?
I don't know, something from
is it one of the curved ones that helps your back? Is it a push shovel? What do you have?
It's a straight pole and a wide shovel and a decent grip. And that's all I have. That's all I have. I got it from Amazon.com, Ty.
Okay.
My question to you is, you have a snowblower now?
I do, yeah.
So
I'm a man's
man. I looked at as being like pulling my weight and I'm a good neighbor because I shovel myself? Is it an impressive reflection on me that I'm not hiring somebody or that I'm not using machinery to clear out my walk and path or whatever? Or is that just do what you need to do. It doesn't matter about impressing your neighbors.
It's workmanlike. It's a lot like journalism. You know, you got to pay your dues until you get up to some of the bigger stuff.
Right.
No, there is no pride in doing the shoveling if you can afford to go snowblower. None whatsoever.
So how much does a snowblower set you back? A decent one. An okay one.
It's several hundred dollars. I don't know the actual price tag, but.
So you're pushing it like you would push like a mailroom dolly almost.
Sort of, yeah. I did not get the Cadillac of snowblowers by any stretch. With what we've got out there now, I have it in first gear, and I have to go very slowly down the driveway and along the sidewalks. But
so you have two snow tires on that thing.
Correct.
And then it's got like a bulldozer. So it's shooting the snow to the side.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, to each side.
And it's not the easiest contraption to maneuver. I'm not going to lie. I've operated other ones before, and they seem like they were much easier, but this is the one that I bought because it was on sale.
Yeah, I'm saying like it'll be a grand or something like that. Yeah.
And so it's fine. It gets the job done. I had to go out and do it now because we might get, honestly, like a foot more tonight. And if I let that stack on top of what was already out there, I'm not using my snowblower. It's just not going to work. So went out.
Have you paid for a service before?
A shoveling service?
Yeah, some sort of clearance.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I've never done that. I've always either done the shoveling or done the snow blowing. But when we moved into our new house, I did the shoveling once and then decided I needed to get the snow blower because there's just too much to do.
How long will a snow blow sesh take you approximately?
Depends on how much snow. If we've got well over a foot like we do now, I was out there for a good hour and a half, 2 hours earlier.
What?
Just doing a first pass at it. And it's still not clean.
So you have like a giant backyard, right?
We have
a good
a nice
size backyard.
Yeah.
So are you clearing the backyard? Or are you just clearing your patio and the front sidewalk? What are you clearing with this?
I'm definitely not clearing the grass in the backyard.
I was going to say, but what are you clearing?
That's a lot of gasoline that I'd need for that. Yeah. No, I'm clearing off the driveway and sidewalks.
Driveway and sidewalks. And so you're going up and down. Like it's a lawnmower, essentially. You're pushing it.
Right.
You're just in deep snow.
It's got a little bit of its own self-propulsion, which helps.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, because the snow is so deep, I can't really go that quick with it. Just got to churn my way through it.
Would you be quicker with a shovel?
No.
Maybe more uncomfortable?
No, you wouldn't be quicker with a shovel.
I'm just asking.
No.
What percentage of people on your block are snowblower versus shovel versus hiring a service?
My neighbor has been going the shovel route. And okay. I've been trying to help however I can by doing at least a snowblower on his sidewalks. But I think most of the people in the neighborhood have snowblowers or services that come and do it for them.
Okay. So what you're saying to me is I'm an impressive blue collar snow clearer with my shovel.
You are blue collar. I don't know if it's...
It might not be that impressive.
I don't know if it's that impressive.
I'm clearing a sidewalk and a little side path to my house.
You could just be cheap. That's also a possibility.
No, I would love to throw money at this problem, Ty. That's why I'm asking you. I would like nothing more than to throw money at this problem because... Well, I will say, I slept beautifully last night after shoveling three times during the day.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If you could afford the snowblower, get the snowblower. If you don't want the snowblower and we want a service, get the service. But no.
It's not worth winter to say I did it the first winter.
No. This is not like going to a fancy restaurant for the first time or going to like Cabo. It's that there's no allure. If you can afford to throw money and fix the problem, you do it.
I think I'd have maybe 50 or 60 total feet of walk between the side and sidewalk. The side walking path to the side.
Are you snowblower curious?
I am. Is there a time you won't snowblow before in the morning?
Good question. Usually try to wait until at least like 8 o'clock.
Okay. That seems reasonable.
But others are out there earlier. And they will be out there late tonight, for what it's worth.
If you're up in Minnesota, if you're up there in Canada, if you're up, you know, Western New York, anywhere, Boston, I got to imagine you shovel once, maybe 5 years while you're young. I think there are a finite number of shovel years in me.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Possibly shovel days.
We have a lot of folks who listen from those regions of the country and the world. They are clearly a better authority on this than I am because they deal with more snow. We get the crazy nor'easters here. It just so happens I'm in like the perfect spot to always take the full brunt of these nor'easters.
Yeah.
But what I'd say is let's get some feedback on the best snowblower and the way to approach this problem. I will say that my neighbor and I, who both moved into this neighborhood the same year, basically made a pact with one another after that very first snowfall in our new houses that now we can't do this again.
Never again.
I had one shoveling session. That was it. I had a snowblower the next week, and then it didn't snow for a year and a half. But so far, I've been getting my money's worth out of it.
Man, but an hour and a half snow blowing.
Yeah. Deep snow, man. We're going to get like 25 inches from this.
So will you do multiple clearances a day?
I'm not against
that. So you're not
that.
Ending up clearing 2 feet of snow that you're doing, you know, 8 inches of snow at a time?
I went out and did, I think I saw 14 or 15 out there. I went out and I did that because I know that there's a lot more coming. And if I wait, it's going to be impossible to use a snowblower. It's just the one that I have is not that big. So I had to go out there. I had to do round one. I'm fully anticipating round two is going to be tomorrow. It might be about the same amount of snow, but I needed to go out there and knock it down. Otherwise, it was going to be crazy. Anything over a foot.
Yeah.
10 inches a foot. That's the limit. You got to go out. You got to knock it down. Otherwise, it's sort of pointless.
What's your ear situation?
My ear situation?
Are you listening to something? Are you listening to music? Are you listening to a podcast? Is it far too loud?
It's too loud.
Like noise canceling something?
No. It's too loud. It's just me and Mother Nature out there, you know?
No, but well, do you put on like things just to block out the noise?
Nope. It's not that loud. We're not like running a chainsaw out there, but.
You'll have to excuse me. I'm a soft person from California who's never done this before. And I think I can make this public because we're all friends here that I don't know what I'm doing in the Arctic Circle that is Lake Michigan adjacent. So
would you feel confidence wise running a snowblower?
If somebody showed me how, pretty confident. I'd have to watch some YouTube videos.
How are you with machines? You do lawnmowers?
I'm a podcaster.
Yeah. Okay.
My machine is my throat. Okay. I'm fine. I'm a good learner. I'm a good student.
Okay. So you're not against running the machine. You just haven't had many opportunities.
Well, we're renting a house right now. So the owner of the house, if something's really bad, he'll help out. And we have somebody that mows our lawn, but, that's pretty rare. That doesn't happen all the time. So I just take care of things and I water stuff in the backyard, all that. But, no, not a lot of heavy machinery in my life.
Okay.
Other than my car.
I'm going to send you a chainsaw. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but just to say you have it, you know?
I'm baking pizzas. I'm struggling to shovel. I'm doing my thing.
Okay. Well, send Dan shoveling tips.
Send me shoveling tips. Send me like a new shovel. I just have a very basic one. Send me a new shovel idea or send me snowblower ideas. I don't know. It might be too late in the season to invest. We'll see. I don't know.
You're in Chicago, man.
I know. It's going to last a while, isn't it?
You're going to get snow for at least 2 more months. Okay. Snowblower
send me some racks.
$800.
$800. Okay. And you're happy with it?
Not really, but it does the job.
So find me something that you'd be happier with. Something you'd be happier with.
This is the only one I know. I don't know anything about snowblowers.
Okay. Well, I just assumed
the guy at Ace Hardware told me to get this one, so I did.
I researched cameras for 2 years before I bought a camera. And once I got the camera, I was happy with it. And I continued to research.
Yeah.
Just because I always like to know.
Yeah. I don't really like the one I have, but it did the trick today. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. Yep. Talking quarterbacks and snowblowers here on an off-season podcast. We will be back on Thursday to talk more college football. Don't forget to check us out, solidverbal.com. Verballers.com is the Patreon, Dan.
Who is your most snowblower 2021 quarterback? Gets the job done, but not necessarily the best. Who is your workman like?
It could be Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett's on the bench. Stetson Bennett's in the garage.
All he needs just a really short season out of him.
It's nice to have him. but I'm not fully happy with him.
Yeah.
Talia Tagovailoa? Malik Cunningham with the turnovers?
And that's a bad snowblower.
He still finished like a top 25 quarterback in the nation, probably.
I mean, the answer could be Jack Cohn, even though he didn't play. I feel Michael like Jack Cohn's a very snowblower-esque type of quarterback.
How about Kenny Pickett?
Kenny Pickett threw for like 500 yards one game.
Yeah, I'm saying sometimes if the situation is ideal, 6 inches of snow, Kenny Pickett's gotcha. If it's an interesting Boston College defense, if it's...
What about Phil Djurkovic?
Phil Djurkovic's a really good snowblower. I like that.
Phil Djurkovic's like medium to upper tier snowblower.
There you have it. 45 minutes of quarterback talk, 23 minutes of snow clearance.
For that right, guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, we will talk to you all on Thursday. In the meantime, stay warm, stay safe, and stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.